The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manassero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manassero, and this is a show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes, type in Old Dog, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast and subscribe. Well, we have a fun show for you today. This is really exciting. You know, I always talk about, I'm always amazed by the number of investors that are engineers, especially techie type engineers. This is a guy who actually started as an investor and was looking for solutions to make his investing a little bit easier. He's going to actually talk about that more as we go on. But who I'm talking about is Heath Silverman. Heath is a part-time real estate investor and CEO of Stessa. With over 20 years experience working with investment properties, Heath has managed all aspects of residential and multifamily acquisition, rehab, management, and disposition. Today, he actively maintains a portfolio of 10 buildings comprised of over 60 units across the U.S., with the majority in the San Francisco Bay Area. Great place to have real estate, anybody that's got it before it went up and went crazy. After years of frustration around the lack of technology available to the individual investor, Heath was inspired to streamline the entire real estate ownership lifecycle. In 2016, he co-founded Stessa, a software platform that gives the millions of real estate investors with single-family rentals and multifamily buildings a powerful way to track, manage, and communicate the performance of their real estate assets. Guys, sounds like a great thing. Stessa was acquired in 2018 by JLL. Heath received a BA in cognitive science from UC Berkeley and an MBA with high distinction from the University of Michigan, Ross School of Business, where he was recognized as the Entrepreneur of the Year. Well, Heath, welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me on the show.
Man, this—that's quite a resume you have here. It sounds pretty exciting. Love to hear your story, how you got started. You know, even before you got into real estate, what brought you into real estate, and then obviously, what brought you into developing this great software.
Yeah, definitely. So I've been working in tech for 20 years and investing in real estate for almost as long. My first property purchase was actually a single family home that I bought back in 2001 in Albany, California, that I bought to live in. And I ended up house hacking it. It was an older home and needed quite a bit of work. And I did renovations while living in the property. But I also got a few friends in there as roommates. And I quickly got addicted to the supplemental income. And thanks to it being in the SF Bay Area, as you mentioned, also the potential for significant appreciation. So I tried doing, you know, after doing all that, I tried doing a number of deals in the years after 2001. And I made a fair number of offers, but nothing really penciled out. And that's until 2009. So as a result of the financial crisis, I saw a huge opportunity. And I ended up jumping into real estate in a big way as a part-time investor. Those were kind of crazy times. Housing was hit really hard. There were deals aplenty. And I started buying up distressed properties. So mostly in the San Francisco Bay Area, mostly in the kind of, I started really with single family homes in the far East Bay. So places like Sassoon and Oakley, there were properties that, I mean, you really couldn't go wrong at the time because there were buildings that had sold for 400,000 plus pre-crisis and were in foreclosure and you could pick them up for $100,000. And they were, you know, cash flowing on day one because people still needed a place to live. So I started buying up all these distressed properties, fixing them up, renting them out. And these days, I really do around one to two deals a year. And most of these days, most of the deals now are 1031 exchanges. So the last 6 years now, I'd say I've done about one 1031 exchange each year as I continually move up into bigger properties.
Gotcha.
I started with single family homes and transitioned more into multifamily buildings. And, you know, it's amazing all these years later, I still get that kind of that crazy rush, that combination of both excitement and that little bit of fear that comes with each new acquisition. I'm totally addicted to it. I love that excitement of going out and finding that next deal. At the end of 2016, I combined my passion for real estate and technology, and I founded Stessa.
Well, great. Well, definitely we're going to want to ask you a lot of questions about that. Just to look back, you mentioned sort of your how you kind of got involved in real estate, not really meaning to, you just getting a house to, you know, to live in and started sort of house hacking. Now, are you still buying things in the Bay Area now? Or when you're buying, are you mainly out of state at this point?
Yeah. So, I was very much focused on California only at the beginning. And I just made my first leap out of state last year with a acquisition in Chicago. So that's my first time going out of state. But, you know, I started in the Bay Area and I ended up buying in other places too, like Sacramento. It's definitely a whole different ballgame when you're buying out of state for sure.
Yeah, I love stories where people, especially that are involved in something and working with it every day, and they come up with issues. We all come up with problems that happen in the course of what we're doing, but I love the innovators. You know, the ones that actually look at, how can I open that? You know, take that cap off of that bottle, you know, and, you know, come up with a, you know, bottle opener, you know, or something, you know. But I mean, you were in the midst of this real estate investing and, you know, there must have been things that were happening that were kind of causing you to, you know, some frustration or maybe, you know, some of those challenges. What would you say early on were some of those early mistakes that kind of prompted you on to the next stage there?
Oh, so many mistakes. I can tell you about my biggest mistake if you want to hear that I still remember to this day.
Yes.
So I would say my biggest mistake was on that first single family home, the one that I house hacked. And the mistake was I just didn't do my due diligence. I needed to do some significant work to the garage that required a contractor. The roof was leaking like crazy, ongoing water damage. And I wanted to do it quickly and cheaply. And in real estate, you know, cheap is never really the right approach. So I found a contractor who was ready to start immediately and gave me a verbal quote that sounded just too good to be true. And of course it was. He asked for a significant portion of the payment up front, demoed the whole garage, and then completely disappeared from the job site.
Oh, man.
Yeah. To make a very long story short, after months of trying to reach him, I was calling him, nonstop, trying to figure out, I didn't actually even know where he lived. I learned that he had been arrested under suspicion of being involved in a very high profile local shooting. Yeah, totally unbelievable. Totally crazy, but a true story.
Geez.
Yeah. Since you live in California, you may remember this. It was the 580 sniper. I don't think he was the person who did it. He was just arrested under suspicion, but it was such a big high profile thing. I won't get into the details, but anyways, this particular situation was extreme, but I learned my lesson. And now, I make sure to always do my diligence, and I recommend, all you listeners out there do the same. Diligence takes many forms, whether always getting multiple bids on work you have to do, checking references prior to signing contracts, modeling everything thoughtfully pre-purchase or pre-sale, or simply just, staying on top of your portfolio performance overall. And I can talk more about that when I get into Stessa.
Yeah. And also the other factor you mentioned, I thought was really, really key too. And that is, cheapest isn't always best.
Yeah.
In fact, most of the time it's not, and I tend to be such a tightwad when I invest, I'm like, every little dime, watching it carefully and trying to keep those expenses down so that, you obviously boost your value and your bottom line more, your ROI. But, at the same time, you can be sort of penny wise, pound foolish if mm-hmm. you're trying to save some money and just really hurting the overall project, the time, and I always end up paying twice as much afterwards just to fix the error that the first guy did. So
exactly,
I think that's a real good point too. So you dealt with that one as the first time out, and that's what I love that. When we get started, I always say, you can take all the training you want, you can read all the books you want, but the bottom line is, I think the real learning starts after you sign your first set of escrow papers. And then after that, the education begins, the clock is ticking. So that's great. So, conversely, what would you say was sort of your biggest success in the time that you have been investing?
Yeah. I would say my biggest success as a real estate investor was this one deal where I tripled the value of a building in just over a year, thanks to what I will loosely call insider information. And yes, I realize it's ridiculous that real estate is an asset class where you often have this asymmetrical information, but mm-hmm. it's totally legal. And I'll tell you the story. So the specific building was this 5,000 square foot fourplex in the Mission neighborhood in San Francisco. And it sold for nearly $1.7 million in 2006, and then the crisis hit. And the owner tried to sell it shortly thereafter. It was on the market for quite some time. I saw it when it first came on the market, but it was way overpriced. He was unable to unload the building, and it eventually went into foreclosure. And it's crazy. Once the bank had the property, and this happened, I think, with a lot of properties at the time, especially tenant-occupied buildings, the building was simply ignored for a while. And due to having no consistent management, the property became seriously distressed from both a maintenance and a tenant perspective. So fast forward a few years to 2012, and the bank put it back in the market, where I was able to basically pick it up with a partner in foreclosure for less than half of its former price.
Gee whiz.
Yeah, wow. And here's the kicker. So SF is rent controlled. The leases, they were lost somewhere in the shuffle, and the tenants had lied to the bank about their rent. So they were paying a small fraction of what they actually owed, really hence, the low price that it ended up being sold for. And here's where the crazy information asymmetry came into play. I dug up the disclosure packets from when the former owner tried to sell, because I looked at it then, and I realized I had all of the original leases, and the tenants residing in the building were all still the same.
No way.
Crazy. So I was totally open about this, and I shared this detail with the selling agent, and he didn't care. He simply was like, yeah, whatever. Good luck with that. So I, of course, was able to immediately get the rents back to market with the help of a lawyer after purchase. I had some luck with the tenants choosing to leave while we were doing much of the needed deferred maintenance work. And, you know, when all was said and done, we were able to unload the building shortly thereafter for triple the purchase price. It also helped that at the time, timing was also a big issue there because we kind of got in at Lowe's and just as everything started to improve and the Mission became an incredibly hot neighborhood. But, you know, information asymmetry like this is super common in real estate. There's so much public information available, such as, you know, city records, development plans, et cetera, that with just a little bit of digging, you can give yourself a tremendous amount of advantage when seeking out deals or even making decisions on your holdings. And all this is with public information that's out there. It's pretty incredible. So as a result, this is kind of an area that I've become really passionate about, bringing more transparency to the asset class through information aggregation and technology.
Well, interesting. It's kind of interesting too that, you know, you'd have four sets of people. It was a fourplex, right?
Yeah.
You said, yeah, colluding like that, you know, and all coming to agree and say, yeah, we're really paying just a couple hundred dollars a month or whatever. I mean, that's pretty. That's pretty sinister, if you ask me.
I think it happens all the time in San Francisco. And you know, sometimes you can't blame people because there definitely is an affordability crisis around here. So I think people, like, it's set up that people take advantage of the system when they can. But yeah, it was crazy because they all claimed they were paying, it was in the hundreds of dollars a month. Whereas the lease, you know, it was like 1/10 of what they, or maybe in some cases 1/20 of what they were paying before.
Oh my goodness.
It was crazy.
Wow. Well, just, you know, taking those things into consideration, just some of the things you dealt with early on, you know, how did that sort of spark, sort of the development of Stessa?
Yeah, I can tell you the origin story and kind of that light bulb moment that I had that made us realize we wanted to start Stessa. So, real estate has been and it still is a part-time thing for me. And, you know, there's this kind of common theme around holding real estate forever. And it's this passive investment that over time gets you to financial freedom. And this is especially true when talking to investors who focus on residential rentals with long-term renters. And I kind of had that view in my early days as well. I'm like, yeah, I'll buy this building, you know, hold it forever. Eventually, it'll be cash flowing well, and I won't ever need to work again. And while that can be true over a very long-term time horizon, I quickly realized that I wanted to create meaningful value over a much shorter period of time. So, you know, my advice is that you really need to, you know, make it an ongoing practice to optimize. And me personally, whenever I've kind of maximized the value of a building and I don't see any more significant upside, I move on. And that's when I do a 1031 exchange. So one of the buildings on which I did this directly led to the creation of Stessa. My co-founder and I, we both knew we wanted to start another company. And we'd actually done a couple of technology companies together. And we started off contemplating a number of big ideas around the future of work and all these other huge problems that would have been very challenging to do. But we kept on getting distracted by our real estate portfolio, as that was something that was much simpler and we could get to immediate results in a much shorter amount of time. So we did a deep dive into one of our multifamily properties that had been on autopilot for a couple of years. And we ended up nearly doubling the value of the building through a combination of operational efficiencies and also bringing some rents to market. So this added real value. I mean, we took these new numbers to the bank and we did a cash out refi and we purchased a new property to grow our portfolio. It was pretty amazing. Make a few tweaks and real money and boom, new property. So specifically the types of things we found a water leak. You know, we identified that the water bill had increased dramatically. And also taking a step back, this, when I say this property was on autopilot, we purchased it a number of years before. We had property management. I actually use property managers for all of my properties because I do have full-time day job at Stessa. And before I had a full-time day job at my prior company. So I often kind of let them run themselves. So nobody had found this water leak. In essence, by finding it, we're able to prevent future property damage. But also, as I mentioned, the bill came down, by like probably 2/3. We also changed property management and brought the monthly property management expenses down. We swapped out a landscaper and janitorial. The building itself was also rent controlled, like my other building. It was in Oakland, but we found out it turned. A couple of the units were sponsored by a local organization. So all the tenants had been in the building since prior to purchase, and because they were subsidized, it turns out, again, this is sort of digging into the public information, they weren't rent controlled. So we were able to immediately raise them to the housing authority's fair market rent for the area. In the end, after doing this exercise and doing this refi, we were totally shocked by how much value we were able to create in such a short amount of time. And we have three big takeaways. And this is really, I would say, the light bulb moment, right? As real estate investors, we should be applying these learnings to our entire portfolio, one. Two, as product people, we could build software to automate nearly everything we just did. And three, as entrepreneurs, there was a huge opportunity in the space to build a company around a technology solution that we could really make available to the millions of investors like us who use little more than a spreadsheet to manage their portfolios. I mean, it's crazy. When you look across other asset classes like equities, you have all these great technology tools that provide things like straightforward valuation, performance benchmarking, real-time analysis, and ongoing optimization via, an active manager or even, nowadays, robo-advisors. Yet little of that exists in real estate. So we wanted to bring these types of solutions to real estate and make them available for all individual real estate investors.
Fascinating. Wow. And that, do you also have a sort of an accounting module or function as well? So does it tie to your overall, bookkeeping and day-to-day, financial tracking and so forth?
Yeah. At the end of the day, Stessa is basically rental property financial management made simple with a whole bunch of great reporting. So after we had this idea, I spoke to hundreds of real estate investors and learned that most still manage everything on an often out-of-date spreadsheet. While it's great to have a basic system in place, many investors, they honestly have no idea whether they've made or lost money except one day a year when they get the returns from their accountant. And I know, we've all been there overwhelmed with paperwork and a shoebox of receipts and juggling multiple bank accounts and unsure of how much money we're actually making. Stessa really helps solve all that. It makes things simple. You can, rather than focusing on that, you can focus on growing your portfolios by having all your sort of key performance metrics in one place on a central dashboard. You can even scan your receipts and invoices right from the phone app. Stessa will automatically read and categorize them all for you, eliminating any data entry. It's all about simplifying and streamlining the traditionally time-consuming processes that investors really muddle through every day. So for instance, right now, we just launched a tax time solution. So tax time on Stessa is now really simple with an easy report that generates a tax package, which you can basically just forward on to your CPA. Makes it really, really easy. And the end result is a new level of visibility into your investment holdings that investors didn't have before, saving everyone both time and money.
God, that sounds fantastic. Does it work sort of across the board in terms of different types of real estate assets or different asset categories?
Yeah, right now we're really focused on single family rentals and multifamily buildings. And it's more set up for long-term renters. But I imagine down the road we'll expand into different areas. And it's really purpose built, to make it very straightforward and specifically for those types of investments.
And it's cloud based, right?
Yeah, cloud based, really easy to use.
Wow, that's great. That's fantastic. So now that you're still investing, are you holding on to your properties for the long term? Are you selling them? What's sort of your plan? Is it just a hobby, or is it something that you're looking at maybe off in the future that might be something you'd want to hand down to your kids or what have you?
Yeah, I'm still investing. I'm still following that, you know, kind of the guidelines I set for myself, trying to do 1 to 2 deals every year. When I maximize the value of a building, I think I mentioned I've done 6 1031 exchanges in the last 6 years. I actually have one building right now that's in San Francisco that I've had for a little while that's in contract. And as soon as that closes, hopefully, fingers crossed, I will be taking the proceeds and moving them into another multifamily building, maybe in Chicago, maybe somewhere else. I'm continually moving up, and my goal is to, you know, is to just hold on to these buildings or whatever buildings I have forever and continually grow my portfolio. It's definitely one of those things that I see doing and eventually passing down to my kids. Getting that step up basis many years from now.
sure. Well, are you, your software, does it tap into sort of outside data, or is it working only with what you basically input into it?
Yeah, that's one of the great things about our software is that it pulls in a lot of information from a lot of different places and really aggregates everything, does all the busy work so you don't have to. It's incredibly easy to register. It's Desa.com, and it takes you through a 3-step process where first we pull in public records so we can identify things like, property details, acquisition price, even loan balances, all that stuff's public record. We pull all that in for you, to really simplify, how easy it is to enter, the details and, reduce that manual data entry. Then you link your bank accounts. So by linking bank accounts, we're able to pull in all the transactions associated with each property. Many people like me, I actually have one bank account for each property or for each LLC. When I pull them in, I associate it with the LLC. So all this stuff is automatically pulled in, categorized. We're building a whole bunch of great machine learning algorithms to automatically categorize everything for you based on what you've categorized before. Trying to reduce the, that data entry. And then you give details on what's the rent roll. And with all that, we generate these great dashboards with KPIs that, that show you everything from your portfolio value, your aggregate portfolio value, your asset return, your debt, your cash flow, your income. And wonderful charts that show, hey, here's my pro forma, here's how I'm performing to that, and help you to get those sort of insights to see where you can make meaningful improvements to continually maximize the value of your portfolio.
Can you tap into rent comps in the market or that you're in?
That is something we're working on. But right now, there are a lot of other good tools out there on the web that can give you rent comps. But I see in the very near future, that'll be something we'll have.
That's great. Well, do you think, looking at your success in both the real estate investing and with Stessa and some of the technology companies you've been involved with, what do you say are some of the skills that you have or maybe, attributes that have really helped in making your success that much easier?
I guess I would say that irrational optimism and contagious excitement are probably the two personal gifts that have helped me be successful in real estate as an entrepreneur and in life. So this irrational optimism, it kind of helps me to ride the ups and downs of investing and building businesses. As an entrepreneur, there's always a lot of downs on the way up. So right. you got to kind of stay positive and really believe in what you're doing. And then this contagious excitement, it helps me to recruit people to come along for the ride. Both are essential to getting partners in both investing and in business.
That's great. Great. Well, we have a lot of folks out there that are 50 plus in age, and some of them are approaching retirement, some are already in retirement, and a lot of these folks are looking at real estate as a means to either to sort of supplement their retirement, or in some cases, you know, to create the type of retirement that they really hope they could. And so they're looking at it, you know, some as a passive investor, some as very active investors. What kind of advice would you have for those folks that are considering real estate investing as a means to help them out in that sort of last third of their lives?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd recommend a couple things. Set meaningful goals and expand your luck surface area. And I'll explain those. So there's a lot of goal frameworks out there, but I like SMART goals, which stands for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time bound. And, you know, setting realistic goals, you can jump right in, start tracking progress, with the reward of hitting goals along the way. Nothing really happens overnight, but if you set goals, I think you can get there faster. And then I recommend layering in, you know, my personal secret sauce, which is luck surface area. So at my wedding, my best man and business partner talked a lot during his speech about how I have a crazy amount of quote unquote luck surface area. Have you heard of this before?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So basically the concept is as follows. To have this luck surface area, it just means you're putting yourself out there. You're communicating your goals passionately and to as many people as possible. And then these magical serendipitous moments just happen. So basically by directing your energy into a passion, you create value, and that value is multiplied by the number of people who know about it and enter your orbit or your sphere of influence. And then all that results in quote unquote lucky outcomes you never could have predicted. So you find a crazy deal. You get somebody wanting to partner with you. You get somebody wanting to invest with you, et cetera. These are all those lucky things that kind of happen, you know, like that amazing deal that I found earlier. It's kind of like you put yourself out there, you talk about it, and magic happens. So in essence, I would say I'd sum all what I just said up into, you just got to get started and then you got to go out and make your own luck.
Interesting. That's great. You were saying that. I thought you said lux. I thought it was L-U-X, but it's luck, L-U-C-K. Surface area.
That's the first time I've ever heard that.
That's great. Well, your company has obviously taken some changes there a little bit, because it sounds like when I was reading that your bio that you were acquired in 2018 by JLL. Which it sounds like is a positive thing for you guys. What do you sort of see ahead for the future for Stessa, and where you want to take that?
Yeah. So first of all, I should say that getting acquired by JLL, Jones Lang LaSalle, which is a big Fortune 500 real estate investment services professional services company, was great. It really gave us the ability to grow faster. They're very much aligned with us. And also make our, I don't think I've actually mentioned this at all, but our service is totally free. With their support, we're able to offer what we're doing now for free. And I'm continually excited and inspired by our mission to democratize real estate as an asset class. And really, as you mentioned earlier, streamline the whole real estate ownership lifecycle. Stessa is built by investors for investors. So we have this big vision that eventually gets into improving access to real estate as an asset class and offering new value add services that will help investors really maximize their portfolio value while saving time and money. And as investors ourselves, we want to support investors all along the way as they build out and continue to grow their portfolios. So we really take that last statement very seriously. Just the other week, we worked with some very talented real estate CPAs to compile the ultimate rental property tax guide. So we put together a comprehensive 45-page document for real estate investors to help them maximize their deductions, optimize for the new tax laws, and essentially understand the best tax strategies they need to know as a real estate investor. And of course, we've made it free to all of our existing users, and we're giving it away to everyone who registers for Stessa now at www.stessa.com/taxes. So, this is what I love doing, continuing to grow the business, helping investors, and help them to keep more of their hard-earned dollars in their pocket.
Okay, that's great. What a great service. I mean, absolutely amazing. Maybe I'll ask you some hard question here. Okay. And this is, coming from an old dog that, has unfortunately made some bad, decisions investment wise in the past. And, unlike, you have, I'm sure you've never made any bad decisions there, but one person might say, okay, this sounds almost too good to be true. You can go online. This is all this stuff is there and it's for free. You talked about something about linking to my bank account. So I'm getting kind of nervous here. What kind of protections do you have in place that, if you're going to go on there and you're going to link your financial information to this thing, how are you protected?
Yeah. So security is a top priority at Stessa. We use bank grade encryption. We have strict internal controls. At the end of the day, it's all designed for security. We actually use a third party provider that does the bank account linkage. And we never see people's usernames and our passwords. There's robust authentication. We have multi-factor authentication. I don't need to get into all the technical details, but at the end of the day, no one can touch your money. You can't move, money in, out, or between accounts with Stessa. So it is safe, it is secure. And if you don't feel comfortable linking your bank accounts, there are other ways to get all of your transactions imported. So you can manually enter transactions. I mentioned the iPhone app. You can simply use that just to take a picture of and scan all your receipts, and we'll automatically read them and categorize them and put them all in there for you. And you can also, if you another way to get information in there, to get it all organized, aggregated, so you can, build your portfolio dashboards, is you can simply download statements in the form of a CSV. And maybe this is getting too technical, but you can download the statements from the bank and put them directly into Stessa, and it will do the same thing as if it's linked. But obviously having the bank accounts linked, it's a lot more automated and much easier to use. And you then end up getting all of your information pulled in real time, all of the transactions categorized, and Stessa will send you meaningful, alerts, notifications when there's an anomaly. Maybe your water bill went up or things like that. It helps to identify a lot of these things for you so you don't have to.
That's great. Man, what an excellent service. I'm going online. I'm going to sign up. So I really, really like it. Well, we are kind of running out of time here. I apologize. I ran a little bit over from the time I initially said we'd be speaking. But we have a session we call right now our Wrap It Up session, where I ask you a series of quick questions about resources that you personally use, and hopefully it'll open up avenues to other people that may not be familiar with some of the same resources. So if you are ready, we can go ahead and wrap it up.
Fantastic.
All right. Let's start with our first question here. Favorite real estate book?
I got to give props to Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and also Cashflow Quadrant, as those were really the first books I read back in the day that got me super excited about investing in real estate and thinking about financial freedom.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. How about your favorite just general business book?
I recommend Ben Horowitz's The Hard Thing About Hard Things. So this is Ben Horowitz of the venture firm Andreessen Horowitz, imparting all his learnings from starting and investing in companies. I'd say it's a must read for anyone building and running a startup.
Love it. How about most valuable website for success other than your own?
Yeah, I would say YouTube. There's so much great free educational content available. You can teach yourself nearly anything with all the amazing teachers and how-to videos on there. I actually taught myself how to be an amateur photographer through YouTube videos. And I see tons of great real estate content out there every day.
That's great. How about a favorite app?
LinkedIn. I find myself referencing LinkedIn on my phone before nearly every business meeting I go to.
Wow, great. How about favorite quote?
My favorite quote is, "What gets measured gets done." And I'm not exactly sure of the origin. There's tons of people who attribute this quote to various people, but I've heard it attributed, more than once to W.E. Deming. So he's the statistician, a professor, management consultant who helped develop some of the sampling techniques back in the day that are still used by the Census Bureau today. And this saying is very relevant to investors because you really have to set clear goals, measure what you're doing, and understand overall performance to be successful in real estate. So this concept drives a lot of what we do at Stessa, and influences many of the purpose-built KPIs in the dashboard, everything from NOI to cash flow to aggregate portfolio value.
Great. And here's our big apocalyptic question here is, if something happened and you lost everything, I mean, just everything, and you only have $1,000 left, what would you do with that $1,000 in cash to restart your real estate investing business?
Man, that's hard. Knowing what I know now, it's all about the networking and the relationships. So nearly all of my deals I've done have been through connections, and I always invest with a partner. So with $1,000, I think I'd work hard to find a great deal, and then I probably would use the opportunity to get a partner excited about it, who could fund it.
I love it. Maybe use a little bit to take them out to lunch or something, huh? Mm-hmm. That's yeah. Great. Wow. Well, covered a lot of great stuff here, Heath, and I think this is going to be invaluable for a lot of our listeners. Anything you might want to add that you might not have touched on that you think might be of value to our listeners?
Kind of mentioned it before, but I'll plug it again. To learn more about Stessa, I recommend everyone with an investment property go to stessa.com and register for free. It only takes a few minutes to get started.
And how can folks reach you? There's probably people that want to find out more. And I know you mentioned stessa.com. Any other ways that people can contact or reach out to you?
Yeah, you can either reach me directly through the website, or you can email me at heaths@stessa.com. So that's simply my first name, H-E-A-T-H, and then last initial s@stessa.com.
Great. Well, we have a tradition here at the Old Dogs REI Network. I know you probably have been aware of that. And you probably just are just totally ready to go here. And give us your best old hound dog howl to close out our show. You think you're up for that, Heath?
I am up for it.
All right. Well, go ahead. Let's give your best old howl here.
Oh!
That was excellent. All right. Well, Heath, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your taking the time to share with our listeners here.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. It's been a pleasure.
Well, I also want to thank all our old dog listeners out there, too, just for joining us today. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we greatly appreciate it. Please note everything we presented here today, including some of the links that we're talking about. There's a great link there. I know he mentioned about this tax package thing, which sounds fantastic, especially as we're approaching the end of tax season here. So those things can all be accessed in our detailed show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And look for the episode with Heath Silverman. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.